Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Monday to you as we come into the truly hard seltzer studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Julia Ramsey, as we wait on Cam to get back from Cali. How are we today? Thumbs up from Jules. Cody?
Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. Fine Monday afternoon here in our fair city.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I don't know. I don't know how I'm doing. Got a little bit of a crick in my neck.
You want me to pop it for you?
No. I was upset about my... I had a pretty good weekend outside of the Titans. Like, everything else went pretty good. And a couple of my fantasy teams didn't do so well. But, I mean, it's a long season. You can handle that. But the Titans had me pretty mad for about an hour yesterday. I was able to kind of get over it by like 5 o'clock, but from 3:50 to 4:50, I was in a really bad mood. I'm okay now, but that hour was really bad.
Yeah, I could see where that one would be heartbreaking because they had chances to end it.
Yeah, I would say it wasn't even heartbreaking. It was just really, really frustrating. Like, heartbreaking, whatever. Titans lose to the Colts, water's wet type of thing, right? I mean, it's a pretty close mirror. The parallels are there between Colts, Titans, Vols, Gators. Like, those are pretty similar. That I'm on the wrong end of both of those rivalries, but it's pretty similar. I'm not heartbroken when you lose those games. It's just frustrating thinking, man, you should have been able to do something different, right? You should have known to go for two when you're up 12. You should have been able to stop Treon Harris when he comes in. Maybe don't spike on third and two. Maybe keep giving the ball to Derrick Henry. It's just you find different ways to lose. It's fine. It is what it is.
Yeah, they forced themselves into that fourth down when they spiked it. I was scratching my head with that one, too. I mean, I know the clock was running, but at least...
Usually, Cody, in those situations, they are giving you a 3-yard out to the sideline. Like, the defense is kind of relaxed. Yeah. You can hit a pass and get out of bounds. Either way, like I said, we just invent ways to lose. My teams are on the wrong side of two rivalries. It sucks. It is what it is. I would still trade yesterday's loss for, Andrew Luck retiring 7 years early. So, some Colts fans thought it was funny. Kind of gave it back to me because I laughed at them. And I said, hey, you know, I still feel like... Titans came out on the right end of this for the entire season. So I'm all right. For the next 3 hours or so, we'll talk sports and other things. It's officially college football's opening week as far as I'm concerned. We've been waiting and waiting for college football to get here. This weekend feels like the first college football weekend of the year for me. I don't know how you guys feel. Some really good games this weekend, or at least games that should be good.
Well, they owe us some.
Oh, yeah, they definitely owe us some after this weekend, especially.
Which there ended up being some decent games this weekend. They just didn't really have a lot of stakes.
Yeah, I mean, BYU, USC was fun at 3:30. Watching Virginia come back on Florida State was fun.
Yeah, Western Michigan beating Georgia State 59-10.
That was fun. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts continuing his run to the Heisman, and maybe I don't want to like sound like an idiot at the end of the year, but like I don't see a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. I mean, I know a lot of it has to do with Oklahoma, but I mean, Lincoln Riley has him playing the quarterback position better than anybody. And much like I started getting on that wagon for the Titans to draft Kyler Murray early, and people are like, oh no, he's a second round pick, he's not a quarterback, and he's not a professional quarterback, blah blah blah. Jalen Hurts looks like the best quarterback to me in the country. Like, if I was starting to get an idea of who to draft next year in the first round, Jalen Hurts looks like he's that guy. I don't know. Maybe once they start playing some better people, that will change. But so far, he is explosive.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few quarterbacks this year that are putting up some really good numbers. You know, I mean, I don't know if Jalen Hurts is better than Tua and Trevor Lawrence. I mean, those two guys obviously have a lot of weapons around them. So does Jalen Hurts, for that matter. But it's those three, definitely the top of the class. And then Joe Burrow, he keeps putting up huge numbers too.
So college football weekend officially starts on Saturday, as far as I'm concerned. It's about time. Feels good. Even the Friday night game feels like a game of substance, of stakes. They're punting on Thursday again, like we've been talking about. But on Friday, they're giving you number 10 Utah going on the road to USC. That's a pretty good little appetizer to wet the beak on for college football weekend. Week one, as we get ready. Tennessee, Florida. Tennessee picks up its first win of the year against UTC. Did that do anything to get you more excited?
Well, I slept through the first half.
So, no.
So, I kind of missed all the action.
I mean, Tennessee maybe found some things that worked. It looks like the offensive line finally maybe settling in. Maybe you're kind of getting an idea of who your best five are. I will say, watching Tennessee play defense was fun. I preface all this by saying UTC is abysmal. That's one of the worst teams I've seen come in Neyland Stadium in a long time.
Yeah, they were horrible.
But I will say that watching Daniel Batuli play linebacker, it did feel a little comforting. Like, no offense to Hank T, but I prefer my senior to be the guy calling the defense, right? Mm-hmm. Calling the plays. And you saw a couple of those clips that went viral of Batuli smacking a defensive lineman on the ass, like, hey, you're supposed to line up over here. Hey, shift a little bit. Kind of pointing everybody where they're supposed to go. I do think that was a underrated loss from the first 2 weeks, not having Batuli on the field. Maybe his absence actually cost you both of those games. But it's nice to have him back. It's nice to have a senior who's going to be able to go in and help call the defensive alignments and defensive plays in the swamp on Saturday. No offense to Hank T. He's going to be good here, but he is just a freshman learning the defense himself. So that was something that stood out to me. Offensively, like I said, maybe you found your five offensive linemen. Maybe. But they're going to face a test on Saturday unlike anything they've faced so far this year. They're going up against a really, really good SEC defensive line on the road, where the snap counts are a little bit slower. Florida opened up, I want to say, as 12.5-point favorites.
12.5, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm. I've seen worse.
Yeah, I think Tennessee's getting a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt because Felipe Franks went out injured.
What was Auburn last year? Wasn't that like 16.5 or something?
I don't remember. I don't remember.
I don't either. I'm going to go with 16.5.
Okay. Usually I remember those things. I don't remember that one.
I'm kind of talking myself into it.
Well, I mean, you are going to be going up against a quarterback who hasn't started a game since middle school.
Heard that story before. Everybody was making the jokes about that Saturday night, you know. They're going up against Kentucky, looking awful. Got to correct all their mistakes for the Tennessee game. Then, boom, down goes Felipe Franks. Here's the backup.
Yeah.
We've seen this story before.
Yeah, but usually those backups have at least, like, been starters in high school.
Yeah, this guy.
This guy didn't even get to start in high school.
This guy, he's a new guy. Really wish it was in Neyland.
I don't.
Make him come on the road.
I don't. I'd rather be in Gainesville.
Why?
I don't know, but I would rather it be in Gainesville.
I feel like you could at least get some pressure on him with the crowd.
I mean, maybe. Maybe.
Why would you rather the game be in Gainesville?
That way, like, I can turn it off a lot sooner if things go poorly. That way I don't talk myself into going to the game like I did last year.
Well, now that's an advantage, yeah.
Just like, hey, let's throw this on at noon. We'll be at Elkmont Exchange watching the game. get you some gift cards. Come hang out with us on Saturday. We'll come in, eat some lunch, watch Tennessee, Florida. Then we'll fire up Voluntary Reaction, and we'll make a day out of it. I'm glad it's in Gainesville, though.
First time it's been a noon game since 2014.
And we almost won that game.
Yeah. Had a 9-0 lead in the fourth.
Should have won that game.
Yeah.
It's Florida week. Like I said, I think this is the official beginning of college football. We'll unpack Florida the rest of the week. It's just Monday. We'll kind of touch base on everything that happened in the NFL yesterday. We'll recap the college football weekend as well. Winners and losers, all that good stuff. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, got a little bit of breaking news. One breaking news, one, hey, a decision hasn't been made yet. That's pretty big news, in my opinion. First off, Big Ben, elbow. Going to have season-ending elbow surgery. But here in Knoxville, Jeremy Pruitt has made a statement on Bryce Thompson. Says he hasn't made a decision yet on whether or not Bryce Thompson will travel to the team or travel with the team to Florida.
I thought he was reinstated. Why would he not?
Well, they said he could practice.
Okay.
Pruitt said he could return to practice. It is a little optically different, like letting a guy play while still having pending charges versus just letting him be around the team in practice.
Antonio Brown had a good day yesterday.
He did. And they went to him early and often. They threw him
first
the ball
play.
Yeah, three times. On the first drive, 3 for 3 for, I believe it was 36 yards. Just got him going early.
Well,
touchdown pass.
So Bryce Thompson, he's going to class. He's practicing. Pruitt said he still hasn't made a decision.
All Pruitt says is Pruitt says he has not made a decision on whether or not Bryce Thompson and whether or not he will travel with the team to Florida.
That would indicate that it's up to him.
Unless some, you know, I got that from Marshall Hughes, who is, a news anchor here. Like, unless he just misworded the tweet that a decision hasn't been made, I don't know.
Well, I think if you're Pruitt, you just go ahead and make the decision. He'll play. You're going to Florida, man. You need everybody you can get.
Yeah, especially whenever you had to bench Alante Taylor, right?
Yeah.
Alante Taylor, I don't know if you said you missed the whole first half. Well, Alante didn't start. And he was in there playing mop-up duty in the fourth quarter. I don't know if it was a permanent demotion or if it was just a, hey, remember when you lost us the game by letting that BYU receiver get behind you?
Yeah, that was a tough one. It was a tough one. Hopefully he will decide to travel with take Bryce Thompson down to Gainesville.
We'll keep you posted on that. We'll do a roundup of all of Pruitt's quotes. We'll see if anything came out of it. We're through the second Sunday of the NFL weekend, Cody. I like to play this game. It's a new game we started playing last week. What are the biggest storylines coming out of the weekend? What were your big takeaways from
yesterday?
Quarterback
injuries, obviously. Big Ben, as you just said, he's out for the year now. He's got to have elbow surgery. He's going to be done for the year. And then Drew Brees going to be out looking at, 6 weeks with his thumb?
It's 6 to 8 weeks minimum, which means they might put him on IR to open up a roster spot that would make him miss 8 weeks. The Saints are waiting to make that decision. But, yeah, I mean, injured quarterbacks have to be the big story. Big Ben out for the year, Brees going to miss at least going to be out till week 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know about you, but I even lump in Cam Newton into that. I know he's not – officially injured and missing time, but I mean, just he's a shell of himself, right? So, I mean, you have three of your more known elite quarterbacks just either being all the way out or just, you know, complete shell of themselves.
Yeah, so some other storylines yesterday. The Patriots obviously looking just ridiculously good. I know they're playing the Dolphins, but that defense, two defensive touchdowns in the fourth quarter –
I appreciated Bill Belichick. Like, to me, I know it's simple, and look, I know this isn't anything new. We all know who the best coach in the NFL is, right? Like, we all know it's Bill Belichick, right?
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. No disputes there. And I know football is a physical sport, and I know that, you know, this could have backfired severely. But just something as simple as Bill Belichick keeping his starters in the entire game, it just seems different when he does it, right? And they asked why, and he said basically all week long I preached about how the team only played 59 minutes and 53 seconds last week, or last year in Miami. Remember they gave up that lateral? They thought they had it won, and they gave up that crazy play that, you know, you have Gronkowski flailing, trying to tackle the running back as he ran into the end zone.
That was a wild one.
And basically, it was just like, if I preach all week that the team has to play 60 minutes, I can't take my starters out. Like, Brady has to be in at the end of the game because we have to adjust our mentality. And look, I know, like I said, if someone gets hurt, then you're like, oh, my God, you let someone get hurt. Brady got hurt up 40 in Miami. Then you're an idiot. But when it's Bill Belichick and you've earned up all that capital, it just hits a little different. And you're like, yeah, that's a guy coaching his team, and that's why the Patriots are going to be there in January, probably February.
Yeah, they look really good. I mean, they're outscoring their opponents to start the year 76-3. Not only do you have Brady, I mean, maybe the best defense I've seen in New England.
They've given up 6 points their last three games if you go back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and they're just – I mean, they're starting the year really well. And to me, it's scary that Brady – you know, the last couple of years, they haven't started that way. Last 3 years, really, they've started slow, and they've kind of had to get better throughout the season. This year, they're starting really hot, and if they still get better, there's no doubt they're going to be there for the Super Bowl. So, Patriots look good. Had a wild one with the Bears and Broncos. Did you see that game?
That was something, all right.
There it is.
That was two teams trying to find out who could be more incompetent than the other.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm worried about the Bears. They don't have much offense.
No. No, they don't. That is putting it nicely.
Yeah, Trubisky, he sucks.
And it turns out that there might be a reason why Fangio. I don't know what I was. Vic Fangio. There might be a reason why he never got to be a head coach, right? that it took him so long, despite being a good coordinator, to never get a chance to be a head coach.
I mean, they score the touchdown. They're down 13-12. And then they decide they're going to go for two. They get the penalty. So then they say, okay, we'll kick the extra point. They miss it. There's another penalty. So they do go for two. They get it. I mean, it's just a wild sequence. And then the Bears, they left them just enough time for the Bears to finally show off a kicker, Eddie Pinheiro, 53-yarder, which is good for the Bears.
It's nice to have a kicker, but then you're like, hey, wait, when we said all we wanted was a kicker, we didn't mean that, like, the quarterback could go back to being a bum. Which, Cody, how do you feel as a Bears fan?
I'm a Rams fan.
You're what?
I'm a fan of the Rams.
You're a Rams guy now?
Yeah, yeah. I love watching the Bears play, typically, but I'm more of a Rams fan.
Yeah, I mean, you got to keep it. It makes sense. You got to keep all your cities together, right? I mean, Lakers, Dodgers, might as well root for the Rams.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was thinking about that last night, watching the Dodgers and the Mets, because I watched some Sunday Night Baseball, uh-huh. too. LA,
who won that game, by the way?
The Dodgers.
Did they?
Yeah.
I was gonna say, did the Mets go up 2-0 early?
The Mets were up 2-0 throughout the game. Dodgers, I think they got one run maybe in the fifth, and then they closed it out. Okay. Yeah. It was, I think,
bad loss for the Mets.
I think it was in the eighth.
As they're running out of time.
Or the seventh, the Dodgers went ahead. Maybe the eighth. I don't know. It was late in the game.
Yeah.
They won 3-2. The Mets are running out of time. I think they're, what, 4.5 games back now?
I think they're 4 back. So what were you going to say? You were watching Sunday Night Baseball and thinking what?
No, I was just thinking, I mean, in terms of cities that have good pro teams, like a lot of times we talk about Boston, but L.A. right now, like, honestly, might – they're not going to win, obviously, in every sport, the three major sports, but they could. Mm-hmm. there's a chance they could. I mean, between the Rams, the Dodgers, and either the Lakers or the Clippers, I think they got the best shot to do it. I wonder if a city's ever done that.
Ever swept?
Swept a trio of the three major sports. I don't count hockey in this.
Yeah.
Football, basketball, baseball. Just thinking. I mean, LA's got three really good teams there.
Boston came close. I mean, they won the 2008 NBA championship, but they had lost that Super Bowl earlier that year whenever the Patriots were undefeated.
Did the Red Sox win that year?
Yeah. They won 07. So, I mean, like, it would have kind of.
At least three consecutive seasons.
It would have been like Boston came close to doing it, but the Patriots choked in the Super Bowl against the Giants.
I was just thinking about the L.A. teams. I mean, I think there's a pretty good chance the Clippers or the Lakers.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'd take that against the field.
Yeah. I mean, if I gave you both the Clippers and the Lakers, you would probably take that. Well, congrats to your Rams yesterday. That was a big win.
Yeah. Of course, Drew Brees was out, which, fantasy-wise was kind of a killer. He got negative half a point. That was a good day from him.
If you're starting Drew Brees on the road, you got what you deserved. I mean, especially you who has sat here across from me.
Well, if it was up to you, I would have started Andy Dalton instead, which I guess I should have in that league.
Andy Dalton had two touchdowns and 300 yards?
The last one, he had like 11 points, and he hit a bomb at the end of the game.
That's in fantasy,
Russell Wilson had a huge day.
I will say Russell Wilson balled out. Russell Wilson balled out, but Dalton was fun. And look, the fantasy junk time stats, they count the same, buddy.
I know. I'm just saying, up to that point.
Well, that's the thing about Andy Dalton. They're going to be losing big all year, and they're going to be throwing a lot.
Didn't think they'd lose that big.
No, me neither. That was they kind of threw us off their scent in week one by keeping up with Seattle just to come home and get demolished. And I saw a stat, I think, that their stadium was at 40% capacity. Like, no one showed up to watch that game.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, nah, we're good. We're not showing up to watch the Bengals 49ers.
Time to shut that one down. They got a new coach already, didn't they? Marvin, he's gone.
Yeah,
he?
Marvin Lewis is gone. They got Kelly, who was the quarterback's coach with the Rams. And all that.
Not looking too good.
I'll give you my takeaways from the weekend next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Dexter tweets in, says that Jeremy Pruitt will announce his decision about Bryce Thompson playing until he's done. Once he's done with all of his weekly media obligations, PR 101. That's a pretty good theory there. Can't announce on Monday, then you got to answer questions about it all week.
That's true.
Saturday morning announcement. Let's ride. Looks like Breeze is undergoing surgery, and Adam Schefter saying 6 weeks. So that would put him back on target for, I think, his first game back would then be against the Falcons, which is a big game. Man, the Falcons tried really hard to Falcon that game last night.
Yeah, that was a good one, though. I mean, it really came down to the wire there.
Yeah, that was a fun game, but they tried hard to give it away. They should have won that game going away. The Eagles had pretty much two receivers, like Aguilar and Ertz. That was pretty much the only pass-catching options they had. Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson out, and Carson Wentz took a beating early in that game. You know, they come out of the half. They fumble the opening kickoff of the second half. The Falcons immediately scored a touchdown. That should have been a blowout, but Matt Ryan tried as hard as he could to give that game back to the Eagles. But the Falcons won, and now all of a sudden, Cody, now, all of a sudden, you look around and say, man, that's really the Falcons' division to lose, right?
Yeah, I mean, without Drew Brees, I mean, that offense looked pretty awful yesterday with Bridgewater. So, maybe they can win a couple games in there. But, yeah, between Brees, Cam with his struggles, Jameis with his struggles, I mean, it should be the Falcons' division, without a doubt.
If I'm the Bucks, if I'm a Bucks fan, I probably didn't really care about this at first because, hey, like, you know, what are we going to do? We got Jameis at quarterback. We're not going to do anything. But now that they're 1-1 and Drew Brees is out, they should probably be mad because after this week, Cody, they play the Giants at home on Sunday. After that, it'll be 7 weeks, 49 days before they play in Tampa again. 7 weeks.
Really?
49 days. And they will travel over 20,000 miles in the air, on airplane, before they get back to play a home game in Tampa.
That is too much.
They go all the way across the country to play the Rams. Then they play at the Saints. Then they have to go all the way to London to play the Panthers. Fly back from London. Go to Nashville. Come back. Not that long of a flight. But then they have to fly all the way to Seattle. So they have two West Coast trips to Los Angeles and Seattle, and then one across the pond to London and back.
They got a bye week in there somewhere.
Yeah, they'll have a bye week after the London game. That's usually how that works. But still, that's a lot of traveling. And, you know, like I said, 7 weeks before they get a home game after this Sunday against the Giants. So the schedule, you know, almost knocks out Tampa Bay. If Jameis Winston don't do it, the travel will.
Yeah. And they, you know, I mean, Tampa Bay is, are they 2-0?
No, they're 1-1.
1-1. So I know they beat Carolina.
They could have beaten the 49ers, but they pick six themselves into a loss.
Yeah. So, I mean, they should be 2-1 after the New York game, but, I mean, still yet, that's tough to not even have a home game in there.
Yeah.
Till October.
Their one home game is, of course, the game in London against the Panthers. So that,
yeah, that's not a home game.
That stinks.
That's the furthest travel.
So when you look at Breeze and Cam and their injuries, and you look at the Bucs schedule, like, there's no excuse for the Falcons not to win this division.
Yeah, there's really not. If they don't win the division, it'll be just a total choke job.
Which Matt Ryan tried his best to choke that game away last night. So when I look at my biggest storylines out of the NFL, number one, injured quarterbacks. You're right about that. Big Ben, Breeze, them being out. Changing of the guard / two teams that thought they were going to be contenders, now looking like they might be in trouble. Although Mason Rudolph came in and he didn't play bad. He was okay. He showed some life. He showed some flashes, some athleticism running around. But the defense, man, that's what I'd be worried about. The defense that I thought was going to take a step forward. You know, they spent another first-round pick on a linebacker. I thought the defense was going to take a big step forward, and so far they've gotten shredded by Tom Brady and Russell Wilson. Now, the good news is it's Tom Brady and Russell Wilson. Those are two of the top, you know, 6-7 quarterbacks in the league. I'll even say two of the top 5 quarterbacks in the league. So that's good. The bad news is you are 0-2, and the Ravens are 2-0, and the Ravens look really good.
Yeah, a lot of people are pointing out that they traded Josh Dobbs away to Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Dobbs was going to be the backup there behind Mason Rudolph. That was the guy they deemed as the quarterback of the future, or at least the lead backup. So the Steelers will have to go and find someone else. They'll have to go and trade for another guy to or sign a guy to be their backup in case Rudolph gets hurt. But, yeah, that's bad timing. I bet they wish they could have taken that one back and waited a week. That's storyline number one for me. Number two would have to be Cody, quarterback excellence from Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Both those guys sitting at the top of the NFL right now, they're the only two guys with at least 7 touchdowns and 0 interceptions.
Yeah, Lamar's had a heck of a start to the year. Ran for over 100 yards yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, he has a real chance to run for 1,000 yards as a quarterback. The thought going into the season was, yeah, he'll do that, but he won't be able to throw the ball. So far, that hasn't been the case. He's been throwing it really well, and they've brought a college offense to the NFL, and they've been kicking people's ass with it so far.
Not bad for a running back.
Now, it wasn't as explosive yesterday against the Cardinals, but the offense still moved the ball and did what it needed to do. Although the Cardinals, man, like, I did not think Cliff Kingsbury was going to be the first guy in, I want to say, like, 30 years. I want to say the number's like 74, to kick 3 field goals inside the 5-yard line while trailing. He's the first quarterback. He's the first coach that's done that in over 30 years. I did not think Cliff Kingsbury was going to be the guy that was scared to go for touchdowns. 3 field goals inside the 5-yard line. They moved the ball really well on that Ravens defense. They just couldn't punch it in. They had chances to win that game.
Three field goals inside the five?
Three field goals inside the five, all of them while trailing. So it wasn't one of those situations like, hey, it's 0-0. We want to, you know, we want to get some points on the board and get a good start. It was, nope, they were down in all three games, or all three possessions, excuse me, and kicked a field goal. First coach to do that in 30-something years.
You certainly don't see the Eagles doing that.
No, the Eagles, I mean, the Eagles were aggressive last night. They were down 11 and went four on fourth down.
Yeah,
fourth and five from the fourth and five from the five, and I was just like, "What are they doing?" And then they got it, and it jump started their team a little bit.
Touchdown and a 2-point conversion. Well, they missed.
They missed the two on that one.
They got it, and then they didn't get it.
They came back from commercials. Like actually, he was down. But then they got the second one whenever they took a 1-point lead, and then they got the two that gave them a 3-point lead before Julio broke their hearts. And then Mahomes. I mean, what else can you say about Mahomes? 443 yards, four touchdowns, and a win over the Raiders. He made NFL history, Cody. No quarterback has ever, in their first 40 games, had six games with at least 300 yards and four touchdowns. Does that make sense? So quarterbacks in their first 40 games, no quarterback ever has had six 300-yard games with four touchdowns. He did it in 19 games.
He did it in one quarter yesterday.
Yeah.
All their points came in the second quarter, which was weird. They didn't score in the first quarter, the third quarter, the fourth quarter.
They just beat your ass in the second quarter and then coasted the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Only two quarterbacks have ever even done it five times in their first 40 games. That was Dan Marino and Kurt Warner. Mahomes has done it in 19. He can really put that record out of reach. He still has 21 games, obviously, to throw for 300 yards and four touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's impressive, you know. I don't really know what else you can say. He's impressive. He's got weapons. That Robinson dude yesterday was catching all those passes.
Where the hell did they get him from?
I don't know. He was connecting with him. He connected with Kelsey a few times.
Mecole Hardman had a couple big plays. He had a long touchdown return because of a holding. Like, they just have all these really fast receivers. They're like, hey, we're going to play a different sport than you guys are.
Sammy Watkins, I mean,
Sammy Watkins didn't do anything. I didn't even see him.
No,
Sammy Watkins did what we expect Sammy Watkins to do, which is frustrate you. He goes off in fantasy when he's on your bench, then you start him, and he does nothing.
Yep. It's like every now and then he just has a huge game.
You just never know.
Yeah.
They call those guys fantasy whack-a-moles. You just never know when they're going to pop up.
That's Sammy Watkins for you.
There are three quarterbacks right now, Cody, with a double-digit yards per attempt. So three quarterbacks are at least over 10 yards per time they throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes is, of course, one of them. That's no surprise. The other two kind of surprised me.
It's not Cam Newton.
It is not Cam Newton. Especially if you had told me before the year that these two guys would be in the top three. Patrick Mahomes at 10.7. He is in second place. Third place at 10.5 as the one of only three quarterbacks to average double-digit yards per attempt. If you had told me before the year Lamar Jackson was going to do it, I would have been surprised. Obviously, week one, there's some outliers there. You know, they had the long touchdown throws. That kind of helps the stats. So he comes in third at 10.5. Number one at 10.9 yards per attempt. I'll take a guess. Probably the best quarterback in the NFC right now. At least he's played the best.
Oh, Dak.
Yeah, he's played the best quarterback. He's been the best quarterback in the NFC so far.
Yep, Dak had another big day yesterday.
10.9 yards per attempt. They are throwing the ball down the field, and Dak is being accurate, and they have a good offense. They're balanced.
They're looking good.
Now, granted,
Ezekiel Elliott hasn't done a lot.
He hasn't had to, though.
You're right.
You bring him up to speed. You move the ball through the air, and you save kind of his body. You kind of ease him into it because now they can't run him in the ground. You know, they gave him all that guaranteed money. They need to do what's best for Zeke long term. Now, with the Cowboys, there still is a little bit of the caveat of, hey, it was the Giants and the Redskins, right? So let's wait. Let's see what you do against a real team, and that test is coming.
Yeah, see if you can do that against the Rams.
My third biggest storyline of the week, coming out of it, is just the NFL's beef with the Saints continues.
Yeah, no, they got screwed again yesterday.
Yeah.
And that, which I don't think it would have mattered eventually because, you know, Breeze goes down.
You're right.
They wouldn't have won that game, but they should have had a touchdown there. Would have put them up 10-3.
And I still don't understand how the refs blow that dead. How are we still making that mistake in 2019?
I don't know.
And honestly, like, can you not just say, hey, we looked at the play and, yeah, I know they blew it dead, but no one was catching that guy? Like, it's not like people weren't chasing after him. Cooper Kupp was trying to catch him and couldn't. So, like, hey, I know we blew the whistle, but, yeah, Cam Jordan scored a touchdown. I don't understand how we don't have that technology or how we, like, are still making those mistakes. Because we have the technology. I don't understand how we're still making those mistakes where fumble, we're going to blow it dead and call an incomplete pass. Even though we've put in the safe systems. We've put in the safety net, Cody, of every turnover is reviewed. Every scoring play is reviewed. So we're not even making the coaches challenge it. Call it a fumble, and we'll wait, and we'll review it afterwards.
Yeah, and then if it's not a fumble, you know, see how the play turns out. And if it's not a fumble, then you can overturn it.
Yeah, there's no harm in letting that guy continue to run the ball without blowing your whistle. I was rooting for the Rams that game. That was one of my, you know, the picks I gave out that I felt confident. I thought the Rams were going to win. I thought the Falcons were going to win. I also had the Falcons win the division, so I was rooting extra hard against the Saints to lose. But, like, even watching that as someone wanting the Saints to lose, I'm like, man, how do you take away that touchdown? How do you not let the play go and just run its course?
Yeah, they really got screwed on that one.
Now, them complaining about it all the time is getting a little tiresome. Like, you have Cam Jordan sitting up there talking about how the guys from Foot Locker, oops, the refs, made another mistake. Like, I mean, that's getting a little tiresome, but at the same time, they have to be sick of it. It's three straight games where not only have they gotten screwed by the refs, but, I mean, they've gotten blatantly screwed by the refs.
Maybe it's a conspiracy.
It might be. Maybe it's payback for Bountygate. I don't know.
Yeah, they did really try to hurt some players back in the day.
Yeah. So those are my three biggest storylines of the NFL weekend.
It was a good one. It was a good Sunday. The 1 o'clock games, a lot of those came down to being one-possession games. I was watching on Red Zone yesterday, not to brag, but that's really the only way to do it.
How'd you get Red Zone? Did you,
I can't talk about it.
Legal stream came through for you?
Can't talk about it.
I mean, you brought it up.
Let's just say I watched it on Red Zone. A friend had it.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
The McKinney team with Keller Williams understands that buying or selling a home is more than just...
Talk Sports is powered by Lloyd's Electric. This football season, don't let your lights get knocked out. Do the smart thing and call Lloyd's Electric Service and pick you up a Generac automatic standby generator. Storm season. It's not storm season just yet, but I mean, I feel like it's storms. Her power's been going out. I don't know. Lloyd's Electric Service and their LES Facility Service Division provides complete generator sales, service, and installation in Knoxville and the surrounding areas. With great financing options available, owning a home generator has never been more affordable. Commercial, industrial, and residential, Lloyd's does it all. 865-692-6700 or online at lloydselectricservice.com. This is a big week for me, Cody.
What's going on this week, John?
I mean, it's just sports-related. I mean, just sports-related stuff. Nothing like in my personal life. We're kind of on cruise control there. But I just mean, like, Florida, it always works out this way with my teams. Florida week is always also a divisional game for the Titans.
They got a big one against the Jags, right?
Yeah. Thursday? Luckily, that one's on Thursday, so they've broken it up, and I don't have the two-day gut punch.
Yeah, just back-to-back humiliation and despair.
And for a couple of years, I swear they put, like, the Florida game on the same weekend as the Colts game, so yeah. It was just a double. I mean, like, 2015 was one of the low points of my life, right? Like, we lose to Florida in the Swamp with a 13-point fourth-quarter lead, and then that Sunday driving up, watching on the phone, the Titans-Colts, like, the Titans jumped out to, like, a 17-point lead and blew that game against Andrew Luck.
It's kind of like you got ran over by a car on Saturday and just laid there all night, and then you were just kind of easing your way off the road. You had just gotten back to your feet on Sunday, and then you got hit by another car. It's the only analogy I can think of.
Or I got hit by a car on Saturday, and then someone came to the hospital to suffocate me on Sunday.
while I was laying
in the bed.
That works, too.
They came to hold the pillow over my face.
Yeah. I just like to think of it like you laid there in the street all night, because that's how bad the Florida losses hurt on Saturdays. It takes a whole day to get over it. And then if you get double the pain on Sunday, it's just, I mean, you just go into the next week just depressed as hell.
So it's a stressful week.
At least it's just the Jags on a Thursday.
Yeah, and they had the chance to like implode. Like, I don't know if you saw the clip. They had an exciting game. Both the Texans and Jags, I mean, that was a pillow fight, and Gardner Minshew came out, and you know, he's a guy that people are into. He's got some personality, but for the most part, he got shut down by the Texans. Now, he did go on a fourth quarter drive, two of them, to what should have been tie the game when they went for two and didn't get it.
Yeah.
But they're a highly combustible team. I don't know if you saw Jalen Ramsey and Doug Marrone getting into it on the sideline, but those guys are ready to fight each other. So I think the Titans are going to be in okay shape going to Jacksonville. I believe they opened as 1.5-point favorites. But it's just a stressful week, and like, it really usually comes down to the Titans for me, because I mean, I usually know it to pencil in when it comes to Tennessee, Florida. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be nice if Tennessee could go down there and pull an upset, but like, I usually know how that game's going to go.
It would be a very pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like we're at the point now where we're kind of just already preparing ourselves for what it's going to be.
Do you feel more confident, though, about Tennessee's chances against Florida than we did? I mean, we have to feel more confident today than we did last week, right? I mean,
yeah.
Not only did you look good against UTC, which, again, UTC, we know, but also Florida didn't look good against Kentucky, and Florida lost their starting quarterback.
Yeah. Florida should have lost to Kentucky.
Yeah. I mean, they should have. Kentucky gagged that game away.
Yeah. The thing is, I'm trying to talk myself into it. I told you that. I mean, this season has been a weird one, because it's gone from, like, after the Georgia State game, I really just thought it was the end of the world. I didn't think I'd be able to come back at all season.
Okay.
But the performance against BYU was better. And then the Chattanooga game, albeit Chattanooga, it was better. Tennessee does look like a team that has gotten better, as bad as this year started. You know, and the SEC East is not very good, so do I think we got a chance? Yeah, kind of.
I mean, being 12-point underdogs isn't that high. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I mean, Kentucky was not, 10-point underdogs at time of kick. And I granted they were at home, but still, they were 10-point underdogs, and they should have won that game.
Yeah, I still just kind of feel like, I don't know, though. Florida always does this to us.
Yeah.
They look bad against Kentucky.
They always do it to Kentucky, too, right, where they tease Kentucky, and they're like, oh, you thought you had us.
And they figure everything out, yeah. and then they just beat the hell out of us. I don't know. I'm talking myself into it with it being a noon game and all that, but I could see us also going down there and just getting hammered.
We've prefaced it many times about talking about how it was UTC, but I will give the coaching staff some credit there, because, I mean, it was Georgia State, right? And you came out flat, and you can't say that Tennessee came out flat this game against UTC, because opening kickoff returned for 60 yards, followed by an easy touchdown, and then the next possession, you block a punt and return it for a touchdown. So, like, Tennessee came out and did what they were supposed to do, which, you know, that's a step in the right direction. But also, they looked interested and motivated, and the crowd was actually pretty good.
Well, they've come out to play the last 2 weeks, and the thing is, I think another thing that helps give people a little confidence is BYU going and beating USC on Saturday, because that kind of makes you think, okay, BYU is a pretty decent team, and you should have beaten BYU. You absolutely should have won that game. So it gives you a little hope. I mean, just that I think it makes me think more that the week one Georgia State game was not that Tennessee's just horrible, but that they just, for whatever reason, didn't show up.
Yeah.
And it's more of an outlier.
Like, if Tennessee played Georgia State this weekend, they would beat Georgia State.
You would think so, yeah.
By 21 points.
It seems now that that's more of an outlier, where after that game, the way they just ran over you in the second half, it felt more like, my God, we're just awful, you know?
Yeah.
But the way they've showed up the last 2 weeks, I think, gives me a little hope that that's more of an outlier than the norm.
Did you hear that, Jules? There is hope that we get to this fifth win and we don't have to die.
Just a little bit of hope.
Maybe. Like, none of us have to die. Like,
maybe.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
We only need
three more so that we live.
Right.
Well, four for I you still to live. Die. Yeah, you need four to live.
You guys only need three more.
Yeah. I feel like we're going to get those three.
Somewhere on the schedule, I think you guys are going to be okay.
Maybe.
A little more worried about myself.
I will, I don't want to overreact to UTC, but like you said, BYU beating USC could be a reason to have some confidence, although I would argue it was more just about their true freshman quarterback going on his first road game and throwing three interceptions. Kind of felt like that was more of the culprit of why they lost that game, but.
Who's that?
USC's quarterback.
Oh, yes.
Remember we crowned
Keaton,
him after.
Keaton, whatever.
Slovis, right?
Keaton Slovis is his name, yeah.
We kind of crowned him after the beating down Stanford. Well, then he went to BYU, and like, oh, yeah, he's a true freshman on the road, and that's not going to go well.
Yeah, he.
And also, maybe, I don't know if you saw what happened to Stanford and UCF, but maybe Stanford just really sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe so.
Maybe they just, like, really suck.
Yeah, maybe USC's not going to be able to retain Clay Helton.
Right.
After all.
Yeah. Hour one in the books. Hour two on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.